You are listening to a podcast from Calvary Church in Delran, New Jersey. Our mission and hope is to help people follow Jesus and experience the true life that is found only in Christ Jesus. Enjoy this podcast today.
One of the ways I like to try to start spiritual conversations with people is to ask questions. It's just kind of my style. I like to ask a lot of questions and hear what people have to say. And sometimes I feel like that earns me the right then when they say, well, what do you think? And then they've asked me what I think and I can tell them, are you with me? So I like to ask questions. One of my favorite questions to ask a person, I'm trying to engage them to see where they are. I'll ask them this question. Well, what do you believe about life? And they usually say, oh, what do you mean? What do you believe about life? Where's it from? Where's it going? Does it have a purpose? What do you believe about life? And some people say, oh man, I never really thought about it like that. And I say, well, it'd probably be a good idea to do so. What do you believe about life? What do you believe about life? What do you believe about life? Why is that important? I'll tell you why it's important. Because what you believe about life will dictate exactly how you live it. What you believe will show up in your actions. On your teaching outline, it says something like this. Let me read it so I get it exactly. It says this: what we believe about life determines the whole direction and the whole use of our life. If I believe that there is no God, if I believe, well, there's a God, but if I believe it's all about my comfort, my pleasure, if I believe it's about material things, if I believe that that's where I really find the ultimate satisfaction in life is if I can be successful and famous and get everything I want, if I believe that about life, my actions will show that. My lifestyle will show it. The use of my time, the use of my energy, my money, my ingenuity, my imagination. My whole life will be directed by my belief in that. If I believe in the Bible, if I believe God exists, if I believe in the real God of the Bible, if I believe that I will give an account to God someday, if I believe I will stand before God and give an account for my life to receive reward or not, my actions will begin to reflect that belief. I was thinking about faith this week, and what is faith and how does faith work? And if you think about it, faith, it's not a feeling. Faith is not necessarily an attitude. Biblically, faith is an action of some kind that's placing trust in someone or something, expecting good results in return. That's what faith is. How many of you know that every person on the planet lives by faith? Yes, sir. Everyone living by faith. Of the atheist who says, I don't believe in God, they're living by faith. They're living by faith in the belief that there is no God and it's all about right now and I'll just do my own thing and then when this is over, it's over. That's it. That's what they believe. That's their faith. Everybody lives by faith. The question is, what am I putting my faith in? Where are my actions revealing what I believe about life? Because what I truly believe will show up in how I act. It will be revealed there. I will see it very tangibly. Faith is an action. It is making a choice to trust someone or something. And my faith is only as good as the person or thing I put my faith in. Like Cross and I the other night, Cross loves watching YouTube. You got any YouTube watchers in the room? Cross loves watching YouTube. Me watching this one thing, it was about this guy trying to decide whether or not to walk across this frozen lake. And life is kind of like that. It's like choosing which frozen lake to walk across. My faith in that lake is only as good as the ice and the solid nature of that ice. It doesn't matter how I go across. It doesn't matter how good my technique is. It doesn't matter if I tiptoe when I get out on the lake. If it's not solid, I'm going to get wet. But if it's solid, if it's sure, if it can be trusted, if it's trustworthy, then the expectation I have placed in it is good. But if the thing is bad, if the person is not trustworthy, if the thing I am placing my trust in will not last, if it is not always true, if it is not completely 100% sure all the time, and I put my expectation for good in it, I will be disappointed. We've been... Okay, how many of you say, Pastor, it's a little heavy. It's like Sunday morning after Thanksgiving. Lighten up a little bit. Anybody with me? Okay. You with me so far? Yes. So just thinking about faith and what we believe is critical. Because faith is not a feeling. Faith is not coming to church and feeling good, leaving feeling positive. I hope you do, but that's not faith. Faith is making the hard decisions this week to put your trust in God and what He says, regardless of how you feel, regardless of what's going on. That's faith. It's the actions that you take. What do you believe about life? What do you believe about life? We've been studying through the Gospel of John. We've been asking the question, why Jesus? Because here at Calvary Church, we say we want everyone to follow Jesus. We want to make sure no one is without Him. Why? Why do we want everyone to believe in Jesus? Have we studied through this gospel? We've already discovered, really, it boils down to two things, because of who Jesus is and because of what He does. He's not just a good man. He's not just a prophet or a teacher. He's God. Why believe in Jesus? Because He's God. He proved it over and over and over again. He says it over and over and over again in the Gospel of John. He claims to be God over and over and over again. He's either a liar, a lunatic, or He is God. It's just that simple. And then He shows us life. He gives us life. He reveals God to us. Why should I trust Jesus? Because He alone is God and gives life to me. As we study our text this morning, four more simple reasons. Why Jesus? Why should I trust Jesus? Why should I put my trust in Him above and beyond anything or anyone else? We're going to pick it up with a very familiar story in John chapter 6. How many of you have ever heard of Jesus feeding the 5,000? How many of you know that story? Let's pick it up. John chapter 6, it reads like this in verse 1. It says, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. Verse 2, a great crowd of people followed Him because they saw the signs He had performed by healing the sick. The Bible tells us in Matthew and Mark that Jesus was trying to take the disciples away for a little bit of R&R, and they get in the boat and they try to go to a distant place. But the crowds are enamored by all the physical miracles. They don't really believe in Jesus as the Son of God. They're not really looking to Jesus to be the Lord of their life. But what they want is more of the physical blessing and healing and stuff. And so they follow Jesus because they want more. And so when He arrives on the other side of the shore, what He sees is a crowd is already beginning to develop. In verse 5, it says, when Jesus looked up and He saw a crowd coming toward Him, He said to Philip, why Philip? Well, Philip was from Bethsaida, which was just a few miles from where they were. So if anybody knew, Philip would know the answer to this. Philip, where can we buy bread for this crowd? Now, we read Matthew and Mark, we get a little bit more of the story. It went something like this. They show up, and Jesus sees this incredible crowd, and the Bible says that He had compassion on them because they were like a bunch of sheep without a shepherd. You don't know a thing about sheep without a shepherd. Can I get an amen? You know 2- and 3-year-olds without adult supervision. Can I get an amen? Jesus showed up, and He said they're like a bunch of 2- and 3-year-olds that don't have any adult supervision. They're in trouble. The Bible says He had compassion. He was moved to do something. What did He do? He began to teach them the truth. And then after He taught the truth, to give direction to their life, to teach them what to believe about life so that they could experience life, He began to heal them and minister them do miraculous things. And in that context then, Jesus is ministering, and toward the end of the day, the disciples say, Lord, send these people away. You know, it's getting late. We're tired. Go, let them go get something to eat. And Jesus said, you give them something to eat. And he turns to Philip, and he says, where can we buy? And Philip says, are you kidding me? Let's read it. In verse 5, where can we buy bread for these people? Verse 6, Jesus asked this only to test Philip, for he had already had in mind, he already knew what he's going to do. He said it to test Philip and the other disciples. Test in what sense? To see if they were truly believing in him. He'd already demonstrated all of these incredible miracles. How many of you know, if you were with Jesus and you saw him heal person after person after person, he turned water to wine and you drank the wine, he did all of these incredible miracles, how many of you would think that if Jesus said, hey, let's feed them, how many of you think that you would believe Jesus in that moment and say, absolutely, great idea? Don't anybody raise your hand, because none of us would, because we don't now. Can I get an amen here? Jesus says, hey, why don't you get involved? I don't have enough. I don't have enough. The Lord is testing. He's trying to develop their faith so that they'll minister to other people. And so he speaks that to them. In verse number 7, Philip answers him. He says this in verse 7. Philip answers and said, Lord, it'd take half a year's wage to buy enough bread for all these people just to have one bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. He said, here's a little boy. He's got 5 small barley loaves and a couple little sardines. How much are they among so many? And Jesus says, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass. They sat down. And Jesus took the loaves and he gave thanks and he began to distribute to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. Now watch this. Jesus didn't go hocus pocus over this basket and suddenly, boom, there's like all this food all over the place. That's not what happened. No, Jesus takes what's there, the little seed that is there, the little seed that's given to him. He prays and he breaks it. He begins to give it to the disciples. And it just keeps appearing in the basket. He just keeps giving it out. And then their basket, and then they begin to take their baskets. And while they're out there, Jesus is just breaking more. And it's just going on. It's just this process over time. It didn't all happen all at boom once. No, it's a process of time. Listen, God works in a process of time. Some of you expect him to do miracles just like that every time. Sometimes he does. But most of the time, God works in a process. And you got to learn to wait on him. What? Wait, man, I can do 30 seconds on the microwave and have hot coffee. Come on. Now, you want God's best for you. You got to learn to let him do his process. You with me? So Jesus is making the bread and handing it out. They all have enough to eat. They not only ate enough, they had 12 baskets left over. Leftovers for dinner. Hallelujah. 12 basketfuls left over. And Jesus says, don't let anything be wasted. Gather them up. And so they gathered them up. Why should I trust in Jesus Christ? Very simply, because Jesus blesses and multiplies everything I give him. Whatever I give to Jesus, whatever I let Jesus have in my life, he blesses it. He makes it miraculous. He makes it more than it can be. He builds it up. Jesus blesses it, multiplies it, pours it back to me, and it works in every single area of life. It works with your time. Some of you are so afraid to get involved. You're so afraid to serve. You're so afraid to get plugged in. Why? Because of what you believe about life. You believe life consists in the experiences that you have. It consists in the movies that you watch, the concerts you go to, the fun that you have. You believe life is in the stuff. And you won't get involved because you won't give your time because you're afraid you don't have enough time for you if you give your life to him. Oh, but here's how it works. When you give your time to Jesus, he miraculously multiplies it and makes you able to do more in the time you've got left than the time you had to begin with. It doesn't compute in your head. It doesn't compute on paper. But I'm telling you by my own experience, when I come in and I've got a list this long to do and I'm tempted to not spend time with God, what I've learned is when I take time to spend time with God, listen and pray and seek his face and wait on him and let him speak to me, and I've discovered the hour, the 2 hours I spend with the Lord, I get more done in that few hours I got left. Man, things come together. People work out. Why? Because God always blesses everything we give him. When we give it to him, he always multiplies it and pours it back, shaken down and running over. Hallelujah. Come on. That's why I trust Jesus. Here's what I'm saying. You've got more resources than what's in your hand. What's in your, listen to me, what's in your hand is just a seed. The question is, where are you gonna sow it? What do you believe about life? Where are you gonna sow that time? Where are you gonna sow that energy? Where are you gonna sow that creativity? Where are you gonna sow that voice? Where are you gonna sow those abilities? You're gonna sow them just into the world? Is that what you believe about life? The world will reward you? Or do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And when you sow into his kingdom, when you die, when you take up your cross, crucify your selfishness, and die to your own way to live to the kingdom, you find life. That's the paradox. Why? Because Jesus is life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. It's not in the stuff. And you will spend your whole life like a 2 or 3 year old sheep running around like crazy trying to get it all done and miss the very life that you're chasing after unless you believe in Jesus. And that's a choice that you make. You choose to believe. It's not a feeling. It's not a goosebump. No, it's believing that if you'll sow the seed of your time, you sow the seed of your energy, you sow the seed of your creativity, you sow the seed of your abilities, and yes, it applies to money. We sow the seed of our money into the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because Jesus will bless it and multiply it back to us so that we have more seed to sow. If I sow one little kernel of corn, I will get a stalk. And I'll get 2 or 3 years. If I sow a whole field, if I put a lot more seed in the ground, I get a lot more return. Some of you are so afraid. You're so afraid to give, so afraid to serve, so afraid to take time, so afraid to love. You're afraid to reach out to the, you're lonely as you can be, but you won't reach out. Why? You're too afraid. Oh, but when you invest the seed of your life into the kingdom of God, it always comes back multiplied. That's the first reason I trust Jesus. Second one, I got to move quick. The second reason is found on down in verse number 14. It says in verse 14, after the people saw the sign that Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come in the world. What did they mean? Moses prophesied that there would be someone who would come later in time, like him, who would be the leader of Israel. It was a messianic promise. And Jesus is making bread. He's feeding people in the desert. Does this sound familiar? How many of you remember in the Exodus, Moses, manna, everybody with me? And they're coming up to the Passover feast. Everybody's mind is already thinking about Passover. Here's this guy, he shows up, starting making bread for everybody. And what do? They say, hey, let's make this guy king. We don't have to work anymore. Are you with me? That's their mindset. Hey, they're not trusting Jesus because they're convicted of their lifestyle and they want to trust him. No, they just want more bread. And so it says in this text In verse 15, Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, he withdrew by himself to a mountain. Why? To get alone with God, to pray. Why? Because that wasn't God's plan. Matthew and Mark helps us out. It fills in some details. What the scripture says is that what happened is that toward the end of the day, Jesus compels, the word means to force. Jesus forced the disciples to go. He told them, go, I want you to get in the boat and go back over across the shore, and I will meet you there. And then Jesus dismisses the crowd. He's got the authority and the power to say it, and then Jesus goes up into the mountains to pray and to seek God. Why did Jesus compel the disciples to leave? Because he was rescuing them from the lying deceit of popularity. Come on, somebody in here say amen with me. Jesus understood their vulnerability. Jesus understood that if they were too influenced by the crowd, they'd be wanting to make him king too. But that's not the kind of king Jesus came to be. He came to be the king, the Lord of life, who would give eternal life, not just make bread for everybody and make it easy street during this life. No, Jesus came to give eternal life, and that meant going to the cross and being punished for our sin so that we might have life. And Jesus sent them away because he didn't want them to be influenced by the lie and the deceit of financial success or blessing and miss the very life that he had come to give. And Jesus rescued them from that danger. Are you with me? And that's the second point. Why do I trust Jesus? Because Jesus saves us from destructive forces. He saves us from the destructive forces of lie and deceit that the enemy uses against us. Listen, you've got a greater enemy than you can perceive with your natural eye. And Jesus knows that. Jesus loves you. How many of you have decided to follow Christ? You've given your life to Christ. Let me see your hand. Raise them nice and high like you mean it. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Jesus loves you. Jesus is after you. Jesus keeps calling you. When you get off track, how many of you say, Jesus keeps coming after me? Hallelujah. Listen, Jesus cares for you more than you know, and he's going to save you from some things you can't even see. You think they're good, and Jesus knows better. You see, we wonder, why doesn't God answer my prayers the way I'm praying them? Huh? Oh, we pray for a particular job, and God doesn't answer that prayer. Oh, we pray for a particular opportunity, and God says no. We pray for a particular person, a particular circumstance, and the Lord doesn't answer the prayer the way we pray them. Why doesn't he? Because he knows you. He knows the circumstance. He knows the future. He knows your heart, and he's saving you from destructive forces of unbelief that will destroy you some way in your life, and he's saving you from those forces. That's why I trust Jesus. He rescues me from stuff I can't even see. And I don't even know that's happening. When does he do that? When I trust him. When I obey him. When I choose to believe in him and act on that belief, he delivers me, protects me. But isn't it interesting? It goes on to tell us here that even though they obeyed the Lord, how many of you know what happened next? They ended up in a violent storm. Let's read it. It says in verse 16, when evening came, the disciples went down to the lake. They got into the boat, and they set off just as Jesus told them to do. They set off for Capernaum. But now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing. The waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, how many of you say, that's a pretty long time to row? I think they were tired. How about you? And after that, they've rowed there. It's the middle of the night, Matthew and Mark tell us. And they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were afraid. I think I would be too. You don't normally see people come walking across on water. And Jesus said to them, it's me, don't be afraid, it's okay. And then they were willing to take him. When were they willing to take him? When they realized who it was. Some of you have yet to realize who Jesus is. You've yet to fully realize the power, the authority, the person of Jesus Christ. When you fully see it, not with your eyes, but when the Holy Spirit begins to really open your mind, you'll be willing to take him into your life. Matthew Mark tells us, and when he got into the boat, the storm immediately died. Just like that. The wind's blowing, the waves are rocking the boat. Jesus comes walking up, stands in the boat, and boom, it's completely over. Why do I trust in Jesus? He saves me from destructive forces. Even those destructive forces that are beyond my control, even when I obey him, isn't it interesting that sometimes we obey the Lord, and when we obey the Lord, we bring trouble into our lives? What? Yes, sometimes obeying God brings trouble into our lives. But think about this. Here you go. Think about this. You're going to have trouble in this life. I don't care what you do. You're going to have trouble. You can either have the trouble of disobedience and all the heartache and consequences that come with it, or you can have the trouble of obedience, knowing that Jesus overcomes the storm. He overrules the problem. Whatever the trouble is, he's actually going to use it. He's going to come walking into your life right on the top of that storm, and he's going to bless you in that storm and use that storm to get you where he wants you to be. Hallelujah. So which trouble do you want? Hey, I'm going to trust Jesus and take the trouble of obedience. Why do I trust Jesus? He multiplies and blesses everything I give him. He saves me from destructive forces. The third one is in verse, is not actually in this text, but as we look in Matthew and Mark, the story goes on to tell us, actually, before Jesus gets in the boat, he's walking across the water. You remember this. And don't you love Simon Peter? Somebody say hallelujah for Simon Peter. Come on. You remember what Peter says? Hey, Lord, if it's really you, man, dude, let me walk on the water. And Jesus says, come on. Jesus loves when we believe him. He didn't say, oh, come on now, Peter, calm down. You're getting a little too religious. Come on, Peter, what are you, Pentecostal or something? Calm down. No, Jesus said, fine, man, get out of the boat and come on. Yes, sir. Yes. And Peter gets out and he starts walking on the water. Oh, I know he failed. I know he took his eyes off Jesus. I know his faith failed. I know he sunk. I know Jesus rescued him, but listen to me. There is not one person on planet Earth that ever walked on water besides Jesus except for Peter. Why? Because he chose to trust in Christ. And for that amount of time that his eyes were on Jesus, what's the point? Why do I believe in Jesus? He empowers me to do the humanly impossible. He empowers me to do more than I can do. I can't know what's going on in somebody's heart. I don't have the ability to do it. But God can give me a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. The Holy Spirit can drop something into my soul to speak to you. He could drop something in your soul to speak to someone else. Listen, God wants to work through you. I don't have a greater connection than you do. I don't have more power than you do. You and I share the blood of Jesus Christ. We are all priests of God and the Most High. We go in through the blood of Jesus and through faith in him, through no other way. You can believe God and pray. You can see miracles. Why? Because Jesus loves you. He lives within you. He wants to empower you to do more than you think you can do. He can do immeasurably more than all you ask or think, according to his power that's at work in you. If you'll just think and believe him and get out of the boat, for crying out loud. You gotta think and get out of the boat. Oh, I know that seatbelt and that bolt just feels so good. Gotta get out of that seatbelt. Choose to believe the Lord. He will empower you. No human has the power to know what someone else is thinking. No human can heal another human. No human can convince someone to follow Christ. No human can convince somebody to live the Word of God. But you can do more than you think because Jesus is the power. He will do the work when you and I choose to trust him. Finally, I'm quitting right now, I promise. Verse 20. In verse 20, it says, Jesus said to them, it's me, don't be afraid. They were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately. Would you say that with me? And immediately, the boat reached the shore where they were heading. immediately. Listen to me. That place of safety, that place of comfort, that place of contentment, they were fighting so hard to get to in their own efforts. Once they trusted Jesus, he delivered them immediately to that place they were trying to get. Why do I trust Jesus? I trust Jesus, number four, because he transports us to satisfying destinations. Jesus is the one who satisfies my soul. We fight and fight. We run around trying to buy everything and have everything and get everything and do everything. We're so busy, busy, busy. We miss the very life of God because of what we believe about life. We believe if I can just get that latest XYZ, then we never learn. The human nature is bent toward looking for things that cannot satisfy. But when you and I trust in Christ, when we give ourselves over to him, he delivers us into the contentment and the peace and the joy that we so long for. In verse 26, the Bible says that Jesus said to the crowd, "You're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. You just want more physical stuff. You're not following me because of who I am. You just think I'll bless you with more physical stuff." He said, "You're missing it." He says, verse 27, "Do not work for the food that spoils. Work for the food that endures to eternal life. I give you that food. I'm the one God has sent." And they say in verse 28, "What must we do to do the work God requires?" Believe in the one he has sent. Choose to believe Jesus. Choose to sow the seed of your time, your energy, your money, your heart. Sow it in pursuing Jesus Christ. Stop chasing all the other stuff. Because Jesus is the one who will transport you to the place of contentment. He's the one that brings you to safety. You can fight and battle the storm all your life. And you will if you don't trust Christ. You'll always be trying to get to the next place, the next person, the next event, the next thing. Only Jesus can bring the deep satisfaction. It may not be the exact physical location that you're thinking. Oftentimes it isn't. But I can guarantee you, Jesus will satisfy you. You know, my whole life, as I was a kid growing up, I'm quitting, I promise. More or less, I'm getting there. I grew up in southern Missouri. My dad, we'd go on vacation out west. I love the desert Southwest. I love the geography and the weather. Big blue skies, sun shining all the time. I really love that. And as a kid, I always thought I would love to live in Southern California. We just got back from a week in Southern California. Sunny, 70 degrees. You know, they don't have any bugs. It's an amazing thing. They leave their doors open. There's like no flies. It's amazing. I love that indoor-outdoor living. Let me tell you something. I thank God every day he brought me to New Jersey with high taxes and cold weather. I love it in New Jersey. Why? Because Jesus satisfies my soul, that's why. And I can go out there and enjoy the weather, but bless God, I don't like another thing about it. Jesus knew I didn't belong in California. Jesus knew I belonged in New Jersey with a bunch of crazies like you. And so he put me here, and he gave me satisfaction here. Why? Because he knows what's best if I'll just learn to trust him and not do it my way. That's why I trust in Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. I promise to never call you crazy again. So in conclusion, choose to believe in Jesus. Stop struggling in your own strength. Stop looking at your own lack. Stop listening to the crowd. Stop trying to fulfill your own life with your own ideas. Stop believing the lies of the world. And believe in Jesus. He'll multiply your resources, deliver you from destructive forces, empower you to do more than you can do on your own, and transport you to a place of fulfillment. But you've got to come to Jesus. You've got to come to him and keep coming to him rather than believing something else. Believe in Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast today. It is our hope that Jesus would be the center of your life. And if you had not made a decision to yet follow Christ, Romans 10 says that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you'd like more information about our church or how you can get connected, please email us at info@calvarydelran.com. Thank you very much.